church doesn't, it's not regulated according to the building that you're in, but it is good to have a nice facility, isn't it? And new, and it's good to see that. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, time you turn to that book, you wanted a cup of coffee, they say. Talk about Hebrews. You like coffee? They had a little coffee shop in town. That's what they call it, Hebrews. It took you a while to get that, but you'll get it sooner or later. Maybe you get it when you eat breakfast in the morning. But the Lord's been good to us, and letting us be here. And I know that He's blessed you, and I watched that over you through the storms. We had family, friends rather, that were in storms and that y'all experienced. And we had a big tornado come through our area back in April of 2010, I believe it was. And those things can be quick and devastating, can't they? And it's just good to see the Lord's protecting. All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. This is known as the faith chapter of the Bible. You'll find the Lord mentions several different people of great faith. And we're going to look at this morning at a man by the name of Noah. And verse number 7, the Bible introduces us in this chapter to Noah. And it mentions and says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was a great man. You find him mentioned the first time in the Bible in chapter 6 of Genesis. In chapter 6 of Genesis, the Bible tells us that Noah walked with God. He said that he was a good man, a just man, and that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was unique in his day because he, out of all society, was the only man that carried the truth. He preached, Peter tells us, for 120 years of a judgment that was to come. And nobody followed him. And nobody was convinced out of 120 years of preaching. And, you know, I get somewhat frustrated when I look at our world today. Let me just say that I do thank the Lord for our nation. I thank God for America. I believe it's the greatest nation in the world. I believe it had a godly start, and that's what's helped it continue so. But I get frustrated looking at the politicians. You know, that shouldn't be of any surprise. The politicians, as they lie and cheat and scheme to push about their own agenda, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle they might be on, they're all motivated by power. And I look at them and I see our world and I begin to get discouraged to see how society has become. You begin to look around and see how morals are so terrible. And you look at the church and you get discouraged. You begin to look around and see what the world notices as religion. And I know that a lot of times we are isolationists. We live in our little bubble. But this world, they see religion as a whole and put it all in one barrel. And you look around and see what religion is as the world defines it. You wonder, is there anybody wanting to do right? But Noah in his day was faithful. And what made Noah so much of a great man was that he had God in his home. The Bible said that Noah walked with God. He had God in his home. And you know, there are a lot of people, they desire to have wealth in their homes today. People want to be wealthy. Greed is what has gotten us in a lot of messes that we're in today as a nation. And they work and they ruin their homes to get wealthy. Their marriages fall apart because they want to get wealthy. They lose a lot of their morals and dignity because they want to be wealthy. And people want education in their home today. You know, education in the world's definition solves all problems. If they got a problem with illegitimate children, they want to educate them at school about it. If they've got a problem with wealth or with poverty, they want to educate it. They got a problem with some kind of transmitted disease, they say education will solve the problem. Education in the world's mindset solves every problem. Now they say you can't amount to nothing unless you go to school. They think, now education. I was riding down the road the other day and was listening to radio, and they were talking about a college graduate that wanted to sue the university because when he got out of college, he couldn't find a job for his degree. They say education solves all the problems, and they want education. People want influence. They want a lot of things in their homes today. But let me tell you this morning, there's the main ingredients in a happy home, and that's God. We need God in our home this morning. How can you get God in your home? Let me give you three ways that Noah had in his life that had God in his home. And let me say, before we get into that thought, the home is what defines and what is displayed in the church, whether it succeeds or fails. The country, whether it goes up or down, it all depends upon the home. You can't bring your family to the church and think they're going to do something great for God if it's not at home. You can vote in any political party you want, but it's not going to help the nation. It starts at the home. The reason our churches are in a mess and the reason why our nation's in a mess is because of the home. And there's not but one fix to it. Don't you like those things that's supposed to be one thing fixes it all? You ever seen those infomercials? But wait, the offer is better than this. If you call within the next 5 minutes, we'll double your order and all. It's just one thing fixes it all. People made millions off of that little slogan, one thing fixes it all. I don't have confidence in that one thing fixing it all. Do you? I haven't found it at all. But I can tell you this, there is one thing that fixes all your problems at home this morning. There's one thing that'll fix your marriage. There's one thing that'll fix the church. There's one thing that'll fix a nation. There's one thing that'll fix your life that's in a mess this morning. There's one thing that'll fix all your problems. Oh, it may not fix them the way you want it, but boy, it'll sure give you what you need. That's God in your home. How did Noah get God in his home? First of all, Noah got God in his home because he had a godly walk. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 that Noah walked with God. He had a godly walk. Noah walked against all opposition. He faced a lot of opposition in his day. The Bible said in Noah's day that they were eating and drinking and being merry and giving in marriage. There weren't one person concerned about a judgment of a flood, about God destroying a nation, the world. A lot of opposition. He faced it as he went around and preached, as he went around and as he built an ark. It was opposition. Who would not be opposed when someone stands out and says that God's going to destroy the whole world? A flood, and they never seen it rain. They had no faith. They had no belief. It was opposing his message. But yet he walked with God even amongst all the opposition that he faced. I believe that's what made his faith grow stronger was the opposition. Opposition builds faith. Faith doesn't grow easily. Faith grows amongst obstructions. Faith grows when there's something to oppose it. People in the Bible that mentioned in this chapter here that had great faith, they had it because of hardships and trials that they faced. And he walked amongst all the opposition. And beloved, this morning, we as Christians in this world that we live in, we have great opposition. They oppose living for God. They will oppose you going out in this community and putting a tent up in the heat of the summer. Get out there and waste your evening. Sing and preach, take your time. And they say there's no use in it. They oppose morality. They oppose people living for God. They oppose you bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they're going to oppose. There will be opposition as you try to walk with God, as you try to live for God, as you try to do what's right. You will face opposition. Sad to say, sometimes you face opposition amongst your family. Even your spouse, even your parents, even your children, even your relatives will oppose you trying to live for God. But Noah did not stand still amongst opposition. He walked with God. He walked with God because he realized that God must be in his home and that he needed something greater than what the world had to offer. Oh, may God dump a large bucket of passion and a large, my dear friend, overwhelming spring in our soul of desire. That amongst all of the opposition of this world, where they try to allure us with their fame, and they try to allure us with their wealth, and they try to allure us with their gadgets and all of their fashions. Oh, may God just give us an overwhelming passion that we'll walk with God amongst all of the opposition that we face. And it's going to have to come something from heaven because they don't give it on this earth. It's going to have to be something that's a great desire. Oh, God, give us a desire that we'll just walk with Him amongst all the opposition. As I travel and go and I see those that once were there. You go back to church year after year, in some cases here, year after every other year, and you come back and you see faces that are not there. And sad to say, it's not in one isolated location, but it seems to follow every church that you go to. Some family's out. Some family's broke up. Some man's did this, or some woman's did this. Somebody's out of the house of God. And you begin to look and see their faces are not there no more. And a lot of times it's because they would not walk amongst all the opposition. We say, oh, but preacher, you don't realize how hard it is today. I mean, just look at the day we live in. Morals are in the gutter. There is no morals today. We are most living in the day, honey, where anything goes. There's no moral standard. I mean, language. In the few years that I've lived, language that used to not be mentioned on the roughest part of town, you'll find highfalutin appearing people talking that way, sitting across the table in a public restaurant. There's no morals in dress, in language, in music. and entertainment. And you say, oh, you don't realize how it is. Our young people, I tell you, our young people have such a hard time, they say. Look at all the hardships they face in school. You know, although that may sound legitimate, had we not had Noah in the Bible? How about Noah's children? He preached for 120 years. They were born and raised with daddy preaching, being a laughing stock down on Main Street. How about his kids? Don't you think they had some peer pressure? How about him, young people? Don't you think that they were oddballs at school? Their daddy was the only one that was preaching about a judgment. You know, the difference between them and a lot of people today was that they had God in their home and they wanted to walk with God amongst all the opposition. Noah walked with God not only against the opposition, but he walked with God amongst all the obstruction. All the things that could get in his way that could distract him. And that's where a lot of it happens today in churches. People get distracted. They'll miss Sunday night, they'll miss Wednesday night, and then they'll start missing. They get distracted. They get distracted a lot of times with jobs. They get distracted a lot of times with habits. And the Bible tells us, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. The Bible tells us that he walketh about as a lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And mind you, the devil doesn't care if it takes 50 years to get you distracted. He'll drop subtle seeds in your soul for a long time, and he'll wait on the harvest. It doesn't matter to him. He don't have to pull in a harvest every fall. He'll wait for years, just dropping small little distractions. I'm going to tell you, old Noah faced a lot of distractions. We've already mentioned about the day he lived in. They were eating, drinking, and being merry. Everything in Noah's day was just one big happy party. That's all they did, was just party all the time. Just have big fun. Here he is sweating, building this boat. And there they are having a big time. Building a boat for rain he had never seen, for a flood he had never heard of. Here he was building this boat. And they were walking up and down the street like Mardi Gras, having a big fun time. Not just occasionally, but the whole time, all their lives. That's what they did, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were having a big time. I tell you, that is a distraction. That's an obstruction. But he wanted to walk with God. You see, we can look at Noah and we can say this about Noah. Noah built that boat, and in that boat, it was a stinking situation. All those animals, wouldn't you think that it really stunk? And you know what kept Noah content in the stinking situation that he may have been in was the storm on the outside. Sometimes it seems like maybe your life just stinks. But oh, my dear friend, what can get you satisfied to live in the mess that you may have made for yourself is when you look at those that are outside of Christ and see the hardship of this old world. And I can only imagine, as Noah built that ark and then seen the repercussions of their partying, seen the arguments, the fussing and the fighting of their good times, and he looked around his little old wife and his children, and there they were. They weren't like anybody else. They weren't doing like everybody else was, but boy, there was something happy about their home because God was in it. And when he looked at his home and seen God was in it, all that prettiness of the world and all their supposed fun, good times, it just kind of went out in the twilight. And all, listen to me this morning. Living for God is not easy. Living for God is not voted in high rank. Living for God is not the populist opinion. But by the time you think that it's just getting too hard, just look at this old world. Look how their sins rewarded them. Look at the world and look how the money and the wealth has gotten them what they wanted. Look at this Hollywood crowd and look at all those that are on Wall Street making the millions of dollars. Look at all those that are just living it up, making high money, and look and see how much joy their money gives them. Why, it's their misery that keeps the papers in business. It's their failures and their suicides and their marriage breakups that keeps the entertainment business news going on. It's all their hardships, their drug overdoses, because they found out just too late that their money they're putting all their fun and wealth in is holes in the bag. There's no fulfillment in it. But all those that have God in their home, they may be humbled and maybe poor and maybe obscured and maybe made fun of, but boy, they got joy in their soul. He had God in his home because he had a godly walk. He had God in his home because he had great faith. The Bible said Noah moved with fear. I'll tell you something about the man's faith. His faith was evident. You could see his faith. The Bible said that he prepared an ark. It was evident. I mean, I'd say when you never heard of a flood and never seen an ark built, and here he was building it, that's pretty good evidence this man believed in what he's talking about. Maybe, I don't know how long it took him to build the ark, but he did preach for 120 years. Maybe he preached about it for 20 and started building the ark for the rest of it. And they seen, after he started building the ark, they said, boy, I tell you what, I didn't know he really believed in that, but man, it looks like he really does. He talked about it for a long time, but now look at him. He's really believing what he's talking about. It's evident because of what he's doing. I want to ask you, how evident is your faith? This faith that we claim that we have. We call ourselves Christians. How much evidence supports your claim? We come into the church a lot of times, and I'm not trying to be cruel, but we come into the church a lot of times and we put on our performances. We put on our acts. We get our paraphernalia on and we get our costume and all of our things together. We head off to church. I'm going to ask you this morning, how do we live on Monday at work? You see, this world is compiling evidence on your life. Let me ask you this morning, if you were to call up the man, the woman that you work with, and you called him up this evening and said, hey, I wanted you to know that I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'm a Christian. And you hadn't been living like it, you know what they'd say? Well, how in the world can you be a Christian when you talk like this? Or you go there, or you do this? They begin to bring out their evidences they've been compiling. And on the other hand, if you have been living for God, well, they say, why are you wasting my time? I know that. It's evident. What you believe in is evident. And Noah's faith was one that was a faith of evident. And then his faith was also effective. The Bible said that he built an ark. It was effective. How effective this morning is our faith? How much an effect have you had by what you claim you believe and what you claim you live? Effective. His faith was effective. It was so effective that the Bible said that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His faith was one that built. And you look at this chapter of chapter 11, you'll find a lot of action taken. You'll find that the Bible said that one moved. You find that one prepared. You find that one walked. You find that one looked. And on, you'll read these action verbs of these Christians that God talks of their faith. Why? Because their faith was effective. They got busy. They did something. Faith will motivate you. Faith will put you on the move. Faith is not stagnant and stale, but faith is progressive. It moves. And his faith was effective. He had God in his home. How effective is our faith this morning? How effective is our faith in this community? How effective is your faith on the job? Oh, but God help us, how effective is our faith in our home? His had God in his home because his godly walk, because of his great faith. And then lastly, he had God in his home because he had a guided purpose. He had a purpose. His purpose was to serve God. He had no other purpose in his life other than just to be obedient and serve God. His purpose was to spread God's word. I mean, he preached it and he talked about it. And then lastly, his purpose was to save his family. The Bible tells us that he prepared that ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. What he did was showing the world that what they were doing wasn't going to work. I'm building this ark, and this ark's going to save my family. And if you ain't got an ark, your family will perish. That's what that means. He condemned the world by building that ark. And he did that to save his family. Noah realized that if God wasn't in his home, his family would perish. And if he didn't do what God said, his family would be destroyed by the flood. And that's what was his purpose amongst all of the opposition, amongst all of the oppression, amongst all of the obstacles, amongst all of the obstructions. That's what guided his purpose. He realized that that was what it would take for his family to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. If there's ever a time that our families need saving, it's today. If there's ever a time we need moms and dads and grandparents, uncles and aunts, somebody to just stand up and live for God, to be a banner in their home, to wave a flag of godliness amongst a wicked world, it's today. And our families are not going to be saved by any educational program. Our families aren't going to be saved by any governmental issued program. Our families aren't going to be saved by any legislation that's passed from the Supreme Court down to the City Hall. Our families aren't going to be saved because of any kind of a county or any kind of local community organization. Our families are going to perish, if not only in this life, but throughout eternity, if somebody in the home don't go out and find God and bring Him back and walk with God, if somebody don't stand up amongst all of this crooked and perverse generation that we find ourselves in, and they'll stand like they stood Mount. As Moses stood out there on the mount with Isaac, he didn't care what else came. He was going to stand with God and do what God said. If we just find somebody as Elijah stood amongst in front of Ahab and told him what thus saith the Lord, we need somebody somewhere that'll stand for God and save their family. We need God in our homes this morning. Lose your wealth. Lose your homes. Lose your land. But oh, don't lose God in your home. Let the the world go bankrupt. Let the stock markets crash and fall. Let the political people just pervert the world if they will. Let the Supreme Court and all of them give their judgments and their advice as they will. But oh, don't let us lose God in our homes. Because we can have all of the wealth. We can have all of the possessions. We can have all of the influence we want. But if God's not there, we'll have nothing that is of any eternal value. Oh, dear beloved, this morning, may we see the urgency of it. May we see the urgency. It's more urgent than anything this world is peddling and putting out today. We need God in our home. I want to ask you this morning, is He there? Does your children seem? Does your mom and dad seem in your life? I want to ask you this morning, is God in your heart? Have you ever been saved? You see, you can be religious all you want. It may show you how you ought to act. Religion can show you how you ought to act. It'll show you how to be respectful, the words you should and shouldn't say. But religion won't change your person on the inside. It'll change your actions, but oh, my dear friend, it won't make you a new person. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and save your soul? He can come in your heart if you'll ask Him. Oh, dear child of God, this morning, may we get God in our home. May it be a set of us when they lay us in front of this pulpit, or they lay us in some room somewhere and they begin to talk about our life. May they say, there's a man, a woman. They had God in their home. Because that is what will follow you beyond this life and into the next. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They come to the piano for a verse of invitation. I want to ask you this morning.